The question was asked about everyone's being tameh and the fact that we go to cemetery, so are we all tameh and going to mikveh after cemetery? So we're going to do a general introduction, try to get a general understanding of the concept of tumah and its practical applications. We're going to try to deal with the concept of tumat mit, the tumah that is imparted by a corpse, by a dead body. We'll try to deal with tumat nida, the concept of tumah, which is most applicable today, of a woman during her period. And we're only dealing with it in light of the question that you asked. Why does a nida have to go to mikveh? Why does she have to immerse herself if she's also tameh mit? So we'll deal with that also. The Torah teaches us that there's such a concept as tumah, which we will call spiritual impurity. It's not something you could see, it's not something you could touch, but it's a concept that we understand, and the Torah teaches us it exists. The Torah teaches us that when there is a corpse, when there is a dead body, that is avi avot ha-tumah. That's the father of fathers of spiritual impurity. And anyone that touches the corpse becomes tameh. Anyone that is in the same tent as the corpse becomes tameh. In the same house as the corpse becomes tameh. Anyone that leans over, that he so to speak shadows, he is in the airspace above a corpse, becomes tameh. Anyone that has something as a canopy over him and the dead body becomes tameh, which is why we say if you go to a cemetery, so there are trees and you're under the same branch as a corpse is, so therefore you are automatically tameh. That tumah is called tumat mit, the tumah from a corpse, from a dead body. How does one become pure from that tumah? So, one can only become pure if we have the ashes of the paraduma, the red cow. And we discussed, you can all access on the web, Pashas Chukas, the summary, about 2-3 months ago. We had a summary of the laws of the red heifer and how we prepare that cow and how we make the ashes. And finally, a person, 3 days, at least 3 days, you have to have a minimum of 3 days after a person becomes tameh, he goes to the kohen, and the kohen sprinkles from Har HaZeisim, opposite the temple, he sprinkles on him from the ashes of the red heifer, and 4 days later, on the seventh day, he also gets sprinkled on, and then he goes to the mikveh, and he becomes taho. He becomes pure. Today that we don't have a red heifer, so no one can become taho from the impurity of tumat mit. So we assume that everyone is tameh mit. We assume that every person has been in contact with a dead person, or has been over a dead person, or has been under a canopy with a dead person. That's usually the case when you're driving down the street and you pass by a cemetery. You might not notice, but it's very common that there are trees that form a canopy over you and the dead person. Even though everyone is tameh, the Torah commands us that a kohen may not come in contact with a dead person, which is why in the religious hospitals around the country, kohanim do not enter unless there's a sign at the entrance that they may enter, because that sign means that there are no dead people in the hospital at that present moment. Even though the kohen is currently tameh, the kohen may not expose himself to new forms of tumah, to new tumat mit. Yeah. So, being that it's a common ceiling, so the common ceiling makes it a common canopy. In general, so that goes into a few details. In general, we would say it's the same room, but there's a concept of suf tuma latzit, that we say that, let's say there's a corpse in this room. How would this corpse leave the room? Being that the corpse has to exit through that door, through there, we say that the tuma already exists in the path that the corpse will go. And that is why we say that the corpse will go through a hallway and will be under a common ceiling. So we say the whole building is problematic. That's a concept called sof tuma latzit. But what some hospitals have done is that they have near the room special chutes and special passageways, so that you could pass the body through there and you say the tuma won't go this way. That's why, let's say, I had a friend who was in an apartment building, in an apartment complex, where he was in his apartment and someone died in the building. So he couldn't leave his apartment because we say softu malatet. Someone, if he'd go to the hallway, so that hallway has a mutual ceiling with where the corpse would pass through. But his own apartment, so there's no reason that the corpse should pass through there. So he was stuck in his apartment, he couldn't leave. Because softu malatet. Until the corpse had left. Once the corpse had left, so he could leave. What about a nida? So a nida has a different form of tumah. The Torah tells us that a woman, once she starts her cycle, once she starts seeing once her onset begins, so then she is tamet tumat nida. And this has two applications. This has the general application of tumah, that if she touches anything holy, she makes it tameh. Anything she sits on becomes tameh. Anything she touches becomes tameh. If she touches a glass of water, then the glass is tameh, the water is tameh. Everything becomes tameh. But she can cook. But we today, every food we eat is tameh. Every food you buy at the supermarket generally is tameh. So that's not a problem. We're not forewarned. Even Kohanim may eat food which is tameh. But there is another law which is separate to an extent from the laws of Tumah, and that is that the couple is forbidden to be together during this period. They may not have marital relations, they may not touch, they may not pass things from hand to hand. All the laws, they may not sleep on beds that are touching one another. They could sleep in the same room, but they have to separate the beds. So that's a separate law. But the Torah says that when she is in Nida, the couple also must distance themselves from one another. Even though, as far as Tumah goes, she might be tameh, a more stringent tumah. But the Torah set a separate law that comes with the laws of tumat nida, and that is that the couple have to separate themselves. And that is why when the woman finishes the process, after she stops bleeding, she waits 7 days of cleanliness, and she checks herself twice each day to make sure she's perfectly clean, and then she immerses in the mikvah, and that takes off of her the tumah of nida, even though she has the more stringent tumah, she still is tameh met, but she removes the tumas nida from her, and then she and her husband can once again be together like a normal couple. I'm saying, is this pertaining to this? Yeah, okay.
Is Sidur considered something that has kedusha?
It has kedusha, but you're allowed to touch it when you're tameh. Kedusha, we mean she could touch anything, but maybe she could not go on the Temple Mount. We also cannot go on Temple Mount because we're tameh. She may touch a Torah scroll. The Sfaradim have a custom that a woman when she's in Nida doesn't even look at a Torah scroll. Some say a woman when she's in Nida shouldn't enter a cemetery. What? That's why you'll see, I don't know if you'll see, but Sephardi women, when they do Hagbah, if they're in Nida, they don't look. If they're not in Nida, then the Sephardim have a custom that the women pick up Ezra's Nashim, they look out to see the Torah when they do Hagbah. That's a Sephardi custom. We don't have that custom.
But in terms of the actual touching, it doesn't have any implication.
Not as far as I know. She shouldn't touch Truma. Chala.
So why? I've heard people say that the reason that
I don't know.
And then I heard from someone else that that's impossible. It can't possibly be the reason because you can't make a Torah scroll.
I agree with the second one. I don't know what the first one meant. Maybe he meant on some Kabbalistic level, like the Sfaradim are worried not to see it. Maybe there's also a Sfaradi custom not to touch it. I don't know. Could be.
No. So as if it's Ansem Chatzorah,
yeah.
Would you see women dancing with Chatzorah?
So, in general, that's in the past. One second, now we're going off topic. Let's finish this. Okay.
It's more of a practical issue here because, like, when you're walking around the Torah, like, you're doing the touching of the in the women's section.
Yeah.
And if you're doing the women dancing with the Torah, then you're dancing in front of the men.
So, the dancing in front of the men, hey, what's that?
I'll tell you, this is part of a more general class. We have to have a class on women in halacha in general. Whatever I'm going to say now won't make you happy. So I don't want to make you unhappy. I like you. So I'd rather address it more fully in a general class on women. It's a fair question, and I'd like to give it a fair answer. So let's give it the proper form where we could address it at length. Okay? So, and I think also, even if we don't get a chance to do that, out of your general learning, you'll have answers to much of your questions, this included, I think, with time. Just give yourself a half year at the Machon, I think it'll answer many aspects of the question. But if not, we will in Mitzvah address it. Yeah?
Regarding practical implications of a woman being the death, if you're living with a woman and she's not your wife, like your mother, your sister, how are you meant to know?
You don't have to know. There are no practical implications. Only a husband is forbidden to touch his wife when she's in nida. A son may touch his mother, a brother may touch his sister, a father may touch his daughter. Only a husband and wife are forbidden.
I heard from somebody, that the reason for being Shemaria has to do with issues of nida.
That's a different thing. That's because we say that when a son or a brother or a father touches a woman, his son, his daughter, mother, or sister, it's not the type of affection that is connected to having relations. Any touch that is of that kind of nature is forbidden with a woman when she's in nida. And we say that a boyfriend and a girlfriend, if he touches her, then that is a touch of affection. The affection between the son and his mother has nothing to do with the affection of a husband and his wife. It's two different types of affection. The Torah forbade a person having relations with a woman that is a nida, and having any physical contact that is of that nature of affection. And we say that a son with his mother, and a father with his daughter, and a brother with his sister, if they do touch, it has nothing to do with that kind of affection, and therefore they may touch. But any other male touching a female, so then in general we say that if he's normal, then it will have that kind of affection. I think so. Okay.